heartland of America and the gateway to the West. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this most incredible program we call Coast to Coast AM. Later tonight, will UFO disclosure finally happen? Stephen Bassett joins us right here on Coast to Coast AM, and here's what's happening. Well, the U.S. military says it is now tracking 800 maneuverable satellites on a daily basis for possible collisions and expects to add 500 more non-maneuvering satellites by year's end. The U.S. Air Force began upgrading its ability to predict possible collisions in space after a deadly Russian military communications satellite and a commercial U.S. satellite owned by the Iridium Company collided on Feb 10. You know, starting in a few weeks, officers in San Jose, California, will become the very first in the nation to field test what is called the Axon, a miniature digital camera integrated into their uniforms to record events as they happen. Rank and file officers say they're curious to see how the cameras work, but welcome a new high-tech tool to help compile critical evidence and protect them from false allegations of misconduct. Right now, there are several such investigations underway in San Jose, including allegations of excessive force against a student arrested for assault. A roommate's cell phone video of the incident has caused controversy about the officer's behavior. But union leaders say that video doesn't tell the entire story. Many officers say they like the idea of having a complete, tamper-proof video record and that it's admissible in court so a jury can see firsthand what the officer said, saw, and did. We'll do a program on that in the not-too-distant future. Worried about your privacy online? So is a woman from Texas. So she is suing Facebook and Blockbuster for posting too much information about her online. Catherine Harris found out that Facebook added a note every time she rented a movie from Blockbuster, a note that contained her full name and the name of the movie she was renting. The 25-year-old homemaker from Dallas County, Texas, said that she made that discovery last year when she rented the 1985 adventure film The Jewel of the Nile, starring Kathleen Turner, Michael Douglas, and Danny DeVito. She said an alert appeared on her Facebook profile detailing the transaction. As a result, Harris filed two lawsuits, one last year against Blockbuster and one against Facebook last month. The suits claim a partnership between the two companies allowed Blockbuster to send Harris's movie renting habits to Facebook without fair opportunity to opt out. The nightly attacks by two man-eating lions terrified railway workers and brought construction to a halt in one of East Africa's most notorious onslaughts. Now, this happened more than 100 years ago, but the death toll now, according to scientists, was not as high as previously thought. Over 9 months, the two monster hunters claimed 35 lives, no small figure, but much less than some accounts of as many as 135 victims. It was 1898 when laborers from India and local natives building the Uganda Railway across Kenya became the prey for the pair, a case that was the subject of numerous accounts and at least three movies. The death toll had been estimated at 28 railway workers and scores of unfortunate African natives, with the total ranging, they thought, as high as 135. Scientists, hoping to figure out the actual number of people eaten, decided to study the remains of two male lions, now on display at the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago, testing the types of carbon and nitrogen in their teeth and hair. Those chemical ratios were compared with carbon and nitrogen found in modern lions in the region. Humans made up at least half of the diet in one of the lions in the last months of its life, consuming at least 24 people, they concluded. The other lion had eaten 11 people. The public has finally voted, and the X-ray machine is the best invention, ahead of the Apollo 10 space capsule and Stevenson's rocket. Out of nearly 50,000 votes cast, 1 in 5 people named it for having the greatest impact on the past, present, and future. Here we go from 10th place up. Number 10, the electric telegraph. Number 9, the Model T Ford. Number 8, the steam engine. Number 7, the Pilot Ace computer. Number 6, Stevenson's rocket. Number 5, the V-2 rocket engine. Number 4, the Apollo 10 capsule. Number 3, the DNA double helix. Number 2, penicillin. Of course, number one, X-ray machines. Mount Clemens, Michigan. A Michigan judge says a man who claims that he was chased, shot, and beaten by workers at a store that he had just robbed can sue those guys, but only if he comes up with $10,000 within 2 weeks. Scott Zielinski is serving an 8-year prison sentence after being convicted of unarmed robbery for the November 2007 heist at Nick's Party Shop in Clinton Township. The 23-year-old filed a lawsuit against the store, its owner, and 3 employees in April. Zielinski was shot twice, and he claims he was excessively beaten. Well, a circuit judge ruled that although Zielinski is indigent and imprisoned, he must post a $10,000 bond to cover the store and employees' attorney's fees if he loses the case. Think way back now to the days of UFO archives and history. The name Lonnie Zamora, former Scirocco, New Mexico police officer, whose close encounter eyewitness to one of the most well-known UFO cases in history, has apparently died at the age of 80. So he apparently died of a heart attack as well. This report is just coming into us right now. This was an incredible case. This police officer, Ronnie Zamora, was driving his car in New Mexico when he saw an egg-shaped UFO back there on the side of the road and occupants outside of it. J. Allen Hynek was one of those representing and looking at this intriguing unsolved mystery. It was an incredible case. Lonnie Zamora died 2009. He was born in 1933, so that makes him about 76 years old. Paranormal Investigators Convention. That's right. It's happening November 6th through the 8th, coming up in Charlotte, North Carolina. A Paranormal Investigators Convention. We've got Mel Minotaur on with us, the executive producer of this event. This is a great idea, Mel. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Thank you so much, George, and congratulations on emceeing the Talk Show Host Awards. And I'm really sorry you're not going to make it to Charlotte. This is the first event of its type in the country. We're bringing in some of the top stars from A&E, Sci-Fi, the guys from Ghost Hunters, the guys from Court TV. But we want to go beyond the typical ghost hunting. This is open to the public, but we want to get into more scientific approaches. We want to see more professionalism in the field, more tests being done. And we're going to be covering a lot of topics. We have people coming in from over 28 states so far that we've heard for this event. And some 20 paranormal talk show hosts are even coming to this event.
That's great. You find that the paranormal investigations seem to be growing, aren't they, Mel?
On every major television network, it has become just part of their programming. And there's an expanded awareness. Everyone wants to know what happens when we die. And coming from a Christian viewpoint, I've often wondered, and I remember some years ago, America's evangelist, someone asked him, what happens when we die? And he made a statement, every day science comes closer to proving the reality of the Bible. It is now proven that we live in a multidimensional world. So what happens? Well, it makes reference to Abraham's bosom and communication and looking down. So with these things in mind, science every day is growing stronger, and I want to see more technologies. I want to see tests. It has become a fad, and there's groups all around the country. And honestly, they serve a very important purpose. There's people that have moved into old homes and old office buildings. They have jittery feelings, headaches, and so forth. You've heard the story. You've been in it, in this biz for a long time. And, you know, people don't realize that EMF fields from bundled wiring and things cause these. And the good thing about some of these paranormal groups, they can help debunk. And where kids are having nightmares, they can help. So one of our speakers has been in child counseling and working with one of the states, and he's going to be dealing with violent hauntings. And, you know, there are those things that we can't explain, and those are the things that we really want to have more answers on. And I must commend groups like the Institute of Noetic Science and Dr. Melvin Morris and, you know, the father of the near-death experience, Dr. Raymond Moody, and, you know, working with Danian for 25 years has given me a lot of insight.
Now, Mel, if people want to go to this event this coming weekend, what do they do?
They can go online to our website. It's ls-pic.org. We're in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's going to be 3 days, over 30 speakers. We've tried to make this very affordable. We got a hotel that's really working with us, and we had, like I said, people coming from everywhere. And we want to just invite everyone to come down. We want their input. And those people that are really interested in this field, we are going to be bringing some new technology, and we're going to be doing some filming in the near future at several different places. And we want to, like I said, take a more scientific approach to this. So, Charlotte... Come on down. This is the one of a kind. There's been a lot of paranormal shows around the country, but nothing like this.
Or even more than Charlotte, Mel. All they have to do is go to your website then and go down there. Great job. I just applaud you for getting more paranormal investigators together to talk about these incredible, incredible areas. A Buddhist bank robber has been refused permission for his cat to visit him in jail, even though he says it's the reincarnation of his mother. Peter Koenig, he's 46 years old, is serving 5 years for armed robberies in Germany. He went to court to demand the right for his cat, Gisela, to be allowed to visit him in jail because, according to him, she's my dead mom. Buddhists believe that people come back as other animals after death. He said, I know it's my mom. She looks after me just the way she did. I need to see her like other prisoners, see their wives and children. Well, so far, the courts say, no way. Up next, we're going to talk about one of the greatest mysteries of all time on this planet, cosmological ice age. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. How well did you sleep last night? Do you wake up feeling tired or with a sore, achy back? Is your mattress showing its age? I've discovered the secret to a great night's sleep on my bed, the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort. And I want you to know how much better you can sleep once you find your Sleep Number. My Sleep Number is 90. The Sleep Number is truly remarkable. You can actually customize the comfort of your bed from feather soft to extra firm at the touch of a button. Everybody has a Sleep Number. Find yours at only one place, a Select Comfort Sleep Number store. And now during the final days of our Veterans Day sale, save $500 on the Sleep Number Special Edition bed selected bed sets. Hurry! Available through November 15th and only while the supplies last. With over 400 stores nationwide, there's a Select Comfort right around the corner. Find yours today by calling 1-800-390-9100. That number again is 1-800-390-9100.
Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds could become more valuable than silver and gold? It's true. Seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's very possible that it could happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you can actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. Get your survival seeds now at survivalseedbank.com.
And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Henry Kroll's expertise is in collaborating studies of biology, physics, and stellar orbit to make science publications. Now, he attributes his success to his ability to combine and interpret data. He is the author of Cosmological Ice Ages, where he addresses some of the greatest mysteries of all time, and he's our special guest tonight on Coast to Coast. Henry, welcome to the program. Henry is not there, so we're going to have to call him right back and get him on. It was probably one of the greatest cosmological problems of all time. Henry has simply disappeared into the cosmological ice ages. I don't know, sometimes that happens in this, sometimes that doesn't. Well, anyway, let me tell you a little bit about what Henry is doing, and hopefully we'll get him back on. And if for some reason he doesn't, we will have open lines for you. Cosmological ice ages, an incredible story about just how life started on Earth. And we've got Henry here back for you. Henry, there you go. You missed your great introduction.
Yeah, I heard part of it. Thank you very much for having me on the air, George. I really appreciate it.
Maybe we got zapped with some kind of solar burst or something, huh?
I have no idea. It's an honor and a privilege to be here.
Okay, tell me a little bit now about your thoughts about how life got jump-started here on Earth. And just for some people, of course, you know, we're not going to detract from the religious outlook of God, because you even say that that's all possible, but this is your theory on how you think it started scientifically. So go ahead.
Well, I was able to put a lot of data together, and it took me 7 years to write this book, and it's... And I've had a lot of college education, too. You know, I've been to 3 universities, had 2 wives, 11 grandchildren, 4 airplanes, you know, 4 fishing boats, spent a lifetime on the sea, you know, and I there's nobody I know of could write a book like this, because, you know, it takes a lot of knowledge in different fields, and I know a lot of smart people, and I don't know a single person could even attempt to put this together. And I have a lot of practical experience, and maybe that's reason that I can sort of get a glimmer on it.
How'd you get interested?
Well, yeah, I was reading Scientific American, and I was looking at these ice core graphs from Antarctica, and I noticed regular drops in carbon dioxide and temperature and you know, corresponding every 105,000 years of ice ages, and I just could not make the next mental leap. I had too much education, maybe, or something like that. It's such a large concept to realize that something outside of our solar system is actually possibly affecting the climate here on Earth, you know? So I called my friend down in Seattle. He's actually my father-in-law, and he's one of those really intelligent people. I've known him for 10 years, and I could never talk to him. Whatever I would say, he would sound like childish gibberish to him, and whatever he would say, I'd have to think about it about a week before I'd understand it. You know, it's one of them guys. And he's just on a different plane, a different level of intelligence, you know. And so he'd already took the next mental leap that I just could not do. And he'd started looking around our sun for other sources of light and heat, realizing that ancient Earth had a very thick atmosphere, and there's no way that the sun's rays can possibly get through it, let alone get life started.
And when you say ancient Earth, how many billion years ago?
Well, it's not billions. The whole history of multicellular life forms on the planet is only about 650 million years, dating back to the Cambrian era.
Right, not long.
And prior to that, we had single-celled bacteria and things that made stromalites. These are rock formations that show up in very old rock dating back one or two billion years in Canada and Australia. Wherever there's old Earth's crust exposed, there's these layers of material that were put down by stromalites. And they grew very slowly because they hadn't invented cyclic photosynthesis yet. They were still operating on non-cyclic photosynthesis, where they sort of kicked out the charged electrons, and they didn't produce very much food. There was no way they could produce enough food for animal life to exist. They just barely had enough energy and food using that process to produce ATP, which is an energy carrier for sugars and starches, to exist. But somebody along and invented non-cyclic photosynthesis, where they keep the electron within these hydrogen bond membranes and therefore produce 8 times more and 10 times more sugars and starches, 8 times more ATP.
And this when you say the sun was created, though, Henry, let me ask you this. When you say the sun was created, it wasn't necessarily where it is today. Is that correct?
Oh, no. The galaxy rotates one revolution about every 250 million years. And we are about halfway out from the middle of the galaxy in what they call the Orion Arm. And we exist in a cluster of about 90 stars. The galaxy is made up of billions of stars. And our little cluster is insignificant compared to some of the major groups around us. They call them moving groups because they're sort of interrelated gravitational-wise. They move as one sort of a group, see? And our group is composed of has two bigger stars in the middle of it that are twice the size of our sun, and they orbit each other very slowly. There's no way that even humans could detect this because we don't live long enough to, our research doesn't go back long enough to even measure these movements. But we do have the tools now to compute gravity, and we do have some information where we could put this together.
Now, when you talk about stellar orbits and stellar orbits being responsible for ice ages, explain that. What is a stellar orbit?
Well, let's get back to the first question there where we needed something that could break through ancient Earth's atmosphere. And I called my friend Brad Goose down in Seattle, and he had already started looking around our sun for something that could break through the ancient atmosphere on Earth, which we found one reference that it was about 750 pounds per square inch. We're down to 14.5 pounds per square inch right now at sea level. Earth has lost 98% of its atmosphere. Right now, if you go up 50 miles, you're out of the atmosphere. But in ancient Earth's atmosphere, Earth was like a gas planet, like Jupiter and Saturn. It had this thick coating of air around it, CO2, that acted like a radiation shield, and Earth had this billion-year ice age, the Huronian glaciation, it was called. For the whole Earth, the oceans were froze over more than 1 mile deep, and there were 3 mile high or 4 mile high coatings of ice on some of the continents. Much like Greenland today, the ice is very thick on Greenland. But anyway, the whole Earth was froze up for a billion years.
If you were to look at the planet from space, what would it have looked like then? Just a sheet of all white?
It looked more like Jupiter. You couldn't see the planet because the atmosphere would be extending upwards of 2,500 miles above the surface.
Ah, okay.
You can take your little pocket calculator. Our atmosphere has gone at 50 miles above us now. You simply divide 50 into 750 pounds per square inch and multiply it out. So you can determine that the atmosphere is up there 2,500 miles. Or 14.5, into 750 and multiply it times 50. But anyway, that's just a rough estimate. We have no idea exactly how far it would extend up. But
okay, well, hold on for just a second, Henry, because we're going to take this break in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Don't touch your dial.
Gateway to the West. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
While we keep moving along here with our sponsorships for Children International, thanks to you, if you could afford 75 cents a day to help a child, just go to coasttocoastam.com's website. Down there at the bottom on the right-hand side, there's a blue icon there for Children International. Click that. Takes you right to their secure website, and you can sponsor a child that way. And what a neat little holiday present that is for you, your family, and for the little child you sponsor. Just go to coasttocoastam.com. For years, the people at Lear Capital have been helping us all learn the benefits of owning gold. They got me to own gold, and wow, good thing. For 7 years, gold has risen an average of 17% a year. And now some say, with all the money the government's printing, the gold price could double again. So if you don't own gold yet, at Lear Capital, they've just made that easier than ever. They're looking to introduce gold ownership to 500 new Coast to Coast listeners by the end of November. For a limited time, new customers who call will receive a free gold investor kit with free shipping on qualified orders of $1,000 or more. That's a 500 new customer limit, so call Lear Capital at 1-800-474-4259 today for that investor's guide with free shipping. Lear Capital, the most trusted name in gold. Call 1-800-474-4259. That's 1-800-474-4259. 1-800-474-4259.
We don't get many second chances. This one could save your life. A TIA, or transient ischemic stroke, is a mini stroke. Symptoms usually go away within 24 hours and you feel fine again. But if you don't get to a stroke center or hospital fast, you risk a full-fledged stroke that can change your life forever. Don't take that chance. Contact National Stroke Association at 1-800-STROKES or visit stroke.org and find out more about recognizing stroke symptoms fast. Do it now, while there's still time.
Thought about your liver lately? Well, how are you feeling? A little run down, sluggish? Could be those impurities in your system. It's time to focus on your liver. It's your body's main filter. Keep it clean from impurities in your diet and environment with Liverite Liberaid. Liverite is the all-natural dietary supplement that aids and supports liver function. Take it daily for better energy, better quality of life. You'll find Liverite in the vitamin section of Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, Rite Aid, or go to liverite.com.
Liverite.
And welcome back to Coast. We're with Henry Kroll, Cosmological Ice Ages. Henry, this gas planet that was Earth at the time, what started to change it to the kind of planet we have today?
Well, we had to use basic logic to figure that one out. Our sun doesn't have enough power to keep us out of ice ages, and the last ones we've had were, you know, we're in this ice age cycle for about 2.5 million years is all. And all prior geologic ages, millions, hundreds of millions of years, we didn't have ice caps on the Earth. It was much warmer. It was, the average temperature was 60 to 80 degrees. But prior to that, we had this billion-year ice age where the whole Earth froze up in a thick atmosphere. So we had to come near some other sources of light and heat. And I called my friend down in Seattle, Brad Guth, and he'd already taken that next mental leap and started looking around our sun for something that could possibly break through a 2,500-foot atmosphere above Earth, you know, 750 pounds per square inch, and get the ice thawed out and get life started, you know, and get the plants to grow in the oceans to release free oxygen so that animals could live. So, and we are heading toward this object. It's very small. It's about 1.5 Earth diameters, but it puts out more than 100 times the ultraviolet light of our sun. And it orbits another star that is twice the size of our sun, the two solar mass Sirius. Both together, they have 3.5 solar masses.
How close will we get to it?
And we're heading toward it at 7.5 kilometers per second, and it's 8.5 light years to the south of us. You can observe it low and to the left of Orion. There's three stars in Orion's belt.
Yeah.
You look to the south, and you look a little to the left down near the horizon. You see this brightest star in the sky. It flickers brilliantly. And that could be because it's putting out an invisible light. It sort of overrides some of the other spectrum, and it modulates it, sort of. But anyway, this thing is the only object near us that could break through a 750-pound per square inch atmosphere and get life going, you know. It takes a lot of heat to melt that much ice on the Earth, you know.
And you don't think our sun can do that by itself?
No, there was no way it could. And right now, we've lost 98% of our atmosphere. The next supernova will kill us, probably, you know. We don't have much radiation shielding left. Ours is the last chance for any kind of intelligent life on this planet, anyway. It's pretty much used up. Maybe it's our duty to release the CO2 into the atmosphere. We just don't know. We're not smart enough as a species to figure it out. But anyway, we started doing orbit calculations because we knew the velocity and we knew the mass of these stars, and being two solar masses, it would normally have twice the gravity of our sun. But when you throw in the white dwarf, Sirius B, it's 3.5 solar masses. So when you're looking that particular direction, you are also looking at all of the gravity of the galaxy itself that holds the stars in line. So you take the mass difference times 4 to figure the actual gravities. And I put all this data in the book, and I explained it so that the average person can figure it out. I want people to do the math for themselves so that they can see that we're not some sort of crackpots here. And I've taken this to two astronomers, and I lay it out for them. And they have to agree that we're in orbit around Sirius. There's no way they can get out of it.
What made Earth, Henry, so different? Why not in Venus? Why not Mars? I mean, the proximity of our sun to us had to have some kind of factor, didn't it?
Oh, very little, actually.
Really?
We were in a billion-year ice age. What I did after that, after I realized that we're in orbit around Sirius, and that was the only thing that could get life going and get plants to grow and release free oxygen, and there was enough incoming light to step up evolution to modify the DNA, the UV light from Sirius B is so intense, and it's invisible. It's above the range of human sight in the 350 to 400 nanometer wavelengths. So I realized that, then I wanted to know where we came from. I wanted to know where our sun was born and how we got where we are. And, you know, I fished king crab here in Alaska for 25 years, and I've flown planes since I was 14 years old. So I'm a pretty good navigator. And I figured, well, somebody's got to do this. And After Brad pointed out that we're in orbit around this star, that was my aha moment. I said, somebody has to write a book about this, and we got to figure out where we came from and where our sun was born and how we got here and put this together. Nobody's really written about this since the book of Genesis, maybe, and I don't know why. They just can't seem to make that mental leap outside our solar system.
They're locked into
the sun as, you know, it's sun worship, I guess.
Henry, when creature life started on the planet, and I mean like the dinosaurs to start, why were they so big? Did the atmosphere have anything to do with that?
Oh, of course. Yeah, we were in a hyperbaric atmosphere. I mean, the whole planet was. Everything was bigger. I believe there were giants on the planet that are 10, 12 feet high. If you do a search on Google and keep looking there, you can accumulate a tremendous amount of information on giants and their skeletons and their bones and their skulls. And a lot of them had 2-liter brain capacities, twice the size of human brains. So obviously they had to have been smarter, or they couldn't carry all that brain matter around with them without being a lot more intelligent than modern humans. So, you know, I think that actually there were probably 4 or 5 other civilizations that developed high technology and got off the planet when did something. And ours is the last chance for that to happen. If we don't wake up and become conscious of what we're doing and where we're going, we're not going to go anywhere. We're just going to be earthbound forever, burning up all the carbon to make the carbon merchants richer. You know, we can't just keep doing that. That's pretty, you know, we got to raise our consciousness level here.
Now, let's start with the dinosaurs, because I assume you believe that the dinosaurs came first before these giant humans. Is that correct?
No. I believe everything was bigger in those days because they did.
But I mean,
you know,
the dinosaurs were here first.
They took plaster casts about 5 years ago of dinosaur chest cavities, and they determined that they couldn't live in today's atmosphere because the atmospheric pressure at that time that they were living was around 30 to 60 pounds per square inch. Their lungs were only half as big enough to keep them alive in today's atmosphere, given their body mass. Their lungs were too small to live in today's air. So they were extinct because we're losing our atmosphere, you see. We're down from 750 pounds per square inch all the way down to 14.5 at sea level. And it's all taken down mostly by photosynthesis. All these layers of coal, oil, and limestone all over the planet were once carbon dioxide. You can't make coal out of nothing. You have to use carbon, the basic building blocks, to make coal, and it's trees and plants that are growing at a tremendous rate because of the incoming ultraviolet light. So anyway, what I did is I plotted our course to find out where our sun was born. I simply drew a line. I read in my encyclopedia we're heading toward Hercules. There's two astronomers measured the redshift, 2,500 stars, to figure out we're heading toward Hercules at 19.5 kilometers a second. And so I drew a line backwards to the center of the chart from Hercules, which is a reference point outside the galaxy, by the way, 2,800 light years away outside the galaxy. And I drew it to the center and standard it out and winds up in Orion. Well, Orion just happens to be the nearest birthing place of stars. If you look on the cover of my book, you'll see the Horsehead Nebula.
Yep.
This is in Orion. I didn't even know that until after I wrote the book. There's a tremendous lot of dust and dirt over there, and you can see new stars coming out of there. And so I assume that our sun was born there. It is the nearest birthing place, and we are leaving the area. So this is, you know, basic logic. You can't get any more basic than that. So the sun had to have been born in Orion, and we do have brother and sister stars. Some of them are ahead of us. They're known as the Big Dipper stars, Ursa Major.
Now, did we come along with the sun as it was birthing?
Oh, of course. Our sun and the planets were sort of born in Orion. There was a little dust cloud, and the leftover dust was turned into the planets, and we drifted out of there. And then we got away from this birthing place, and it was colder out there in space. So, of course, the Earth froze up because the sun didn't burn as hot then as it does today. It was still being formed from all the dust and gas in the area. So, you know, maybe some of the planets were actually swapped in from somewhere else or some other galaxy collisions there, something moving by, but some of the planets are rotating differently, their poles are pointing toward the sun, you know, things happen out there. It's not a real safe place to be in empty space. But anyway, we got out of there, and Earth is in this ice age, and then there's only one way we could have gotten captured by the Sirius system. And Brad mentioned something like mutual gravity alignment points, mutual gravity alignment. I had to think about that one for a week before I understood what he was saying.
Just a week?
You know, I'm not all that bright, but, you know, this guy is, you know, is on another level. But I got so I could understand him after a while. So anyway, mutual gravities are when you go between two stars. Just say, for example, you have a chemical-fueled spaceship and you happen to go between two stars. If you go toward one star more than the other, you're going to get out of a point where you haven't got enough fuel to get out of there, and you're going to go back in the orbit around that star because the gravity on that side will suck you in. So there's these points in between in large areas where it's called mutual gravity. You could travel in those areas without worrying about getting, you know, sucked into orbit around a star.
I want to come back with the giants in a second, but I've got to ask you about your thoughts about the moon. A lot of scientists, Henry, say the moon was formed as a chunk from the planet, right? Ripped itself out. You say that the moon came into orbit around Earth only 11,712 years ago. Tell me about that.
Well, I explained all of that in the book, but, you know, I couldn't believe that myself. When I started that moon chapter, it took me a whole year to write that one moon chapter, and I started accumulating data on it. I just could not even believe it myself. I couldn't make myself believe it because I've been so brainwashed.
You got to make me believe.
I was so brainwashed by the school system that I believed that it came out of the Pacific Ocean was one theory, or that it was, you know, it's just too synchronistic to be where it is and be so large. You know, it's like 11 times larger than any other moon to exist around any other planet. You know, the relationship, you see, between our moon and the Earth. And I just couldn't get over it. So I started looking around on Earth. I was looking at National Geographic magazine, and they had, I was looking at meteor impacts all over the Earth, possible old ones. And the oil wells in National Geographic are in a crescent on the north slope above Alaska. It has a constant radius to everything. I was looking for constant radiuses, which are indications of impact zones. And then I did some research on oil, how oil is formed, and most oil fields in the world are ancient impact zones from where large meteors came in and compressed ancient seafloors to unite the hydrogen with the carbon to create hydrocarbons. And it happens very quickly. It's called the Kurvan effect. It's an instantaneous creation of oil. Anyway, there's many theories of how that oil is created. Internet.
Don't worry about the oil now. Tell me about the moon.
Anyway, constant radius of the Brooks Range up there kind of matches the lunar radius. And then I got the hydrographic map of the Arctic Ocean. And that is a deep ocean up there. It's 5 kilometers deep in some places. And it's roughly circular, about a third the diameter of the moon, the whole area up there above Greenland. And I started researching that a little more, and I didn't believe it. And I got a lot of help from very intelligent people around the planet on this. I got a letter from Jean Lenars in France. He knows William Henry. You've had him on the program there.
Sure.
And he's a French chemist, and he sent me pictures of William Henry and him walking around these churches and castles over there in France. And he encouraged me to keep working on that moon thing in a letter. We've been corresponding back and forth. And, you know, a lot of synchronistic things happened when I started getting into this book. It's just unbelievable how things kind of
okay, Henry, you're together. Drifting on me. You're drifting on me. You got to tell me, how do you believe the moon came into orbit around the Earth?
Well, actually, I didn't. But, you know, we had this pole shift, and all of the camels and horses and mastodons and tribes of people in North America were exterminated instantly 11,711 years ago. And that date was arrived at recently by two Norwegians who analyzed the ice core graphs to come out the exact year. It's actually 11,712 years ago. But anyway, now it's been over a year since that data came out. So something had to freeze them to death. They found these mastodons with green food in their mouths, and they were building the Elkan Highway. There's rumors that they even cooked up some of the meat that they found because the road crews were hungry, and they were short of meat. And up in northern Alaska, there's these piles of bones, and Eskimos talk about the finding them with green food and the frozen mammoth meat, you know, in the stomachs. They've analyzed them. And there's piles of bones in Siberia, and they don't know how they got there. And at that time, there were tremendous upheavals all over the globe, and it was a major pole shift at that time. And what it did, the rotational pole, I figured out in the book, if you go to those pages with the Encarta globe there, that the center of rotation of the Earth, the north rotational pole, was between Greenland and Nova Scotia and the lower tip of Greenland. And you line up all the lakes, they're in a big crescent circle. That was the end of the ice sheet. That's what they tell me in geology books, in geology class. I remember that from many, many years ago when I went to school. And I drew a line or a circle on that with a compass and extended it around to where it encompasses the fjords of Norway, which were covered with ice and made by ice. So that was the actual rotational pole at that time, and it was perpendicular to the sun's rays. We didn't have very prominent summers and winters. We were in an elliptical orbit around the sun. And someone engineered this, and I have a suspicion who it is, but there's no way you can prove it.
Who do you think it was?
I put in the book that it was Thoth. He was the Egyptian scribe. He supposedly lived a very long time. He gave mankind everything, including he was an advisor to all the princes and, you know, Osiris and everybody in ancient Egypt. He's also known as Hermes and by the Greeks. And when you go into any doctor's office, there's these double snakes up on the wall there, meaning they took that symbol, meaning that Hermes was actually a healer. He was known as by the Romans as Mercury. So, you know, I think he was a real person. He may have had something to do with bringing the moon in, because there's a legend that he stole 5 days from the moon. Now, there's 360 degrees in a circle, right? This ancient man probably put sticks in the ground and measured each day of the year using a shadow and come up with a 360-day year. Well, after the moon was brought in, he put it out into a little further orbit away from Earth, and it's now 365 and a quarter days.
Yeah. Well, you know, John Laird said some time ago that the moon was towed into action and was put here on the planet. I'm gonna believe that the moon may have come from good old planet Earth, that it was chipped right out, Henry, and has been there since the inception of our planet as well, as all of that was being formed. Henry's work, Cosmological Ice Ages, his website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Hey, when I come back, I'm going to have open lines for a while. We'll be right back.
Another frickin' meeting.
Jane?
I would rather poke my eyes out than listen to Mr. Wyden's grating voice.
Jane?
And Mr. Wyden's nose is so bulbous, it's like a clown nose. Gross, and that stanchy, stinky cologne. It's amazing he was able to poke
Jane!
It.
What? He's standing right behind you.
Hello, Jane.
Time to find a new job. Post your resume free and find hundreds of local listings at AnchorageHelpWanted.com.
I'm still looking forward to the meeting.
Good. You can sit next to me and stare at my bulbous nose and sniff my sticky stench.
Great.
AnchorageHelpWanted.com. Amazing.
Hey, what are you doing?
What? Oh, I am making a shield.
Why?
Because I heard if you have a shield, you are protected from Five-Fingered Freddy.
How is that flimsy piece of metal supposed to protect you from me? Oh, I mean him.
I don't know. The Spartans had shields.
You idiot. The Spartans were defeated. Not just any shield will protect your property and family. You need action shield.
What's an action shield?
One of those nice little shields you get to show you're protected by Alaska's most diversified security company. They offer one-stop shopping for any security problem. If you've got an action security shield out front, Five-Fingered Freddy is out of business.
If you want Alaska's complete security company, then call Action. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time. Action Security. Find us downtown on Fifth Avenue or on Diamond at King's Row and online at actionsecurity.com.
You'll need to stay awake and watch the rest of the movie next time.
I suppose you're right. Action Security. Providing tomorrow's security today.
NEPA Auto Parts Weekend PFD Savings continue in Anchorage and Eagle River. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, now through November 8th, you'll receive 20% off your entire purchase.
Get the good stuff!
Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
We're looking for change, but not the change that Obama has brought us. We're looking for real change.
There's still people that need a voice! Voice!
Hear history as it happens. News Radio 650, KENI. Your source for news and information 24 hours a day. News Radio 650 KENI Anchorage. A Clear Channel station.
From ABC News, I'm Michael Barr. The New York Yankees have won the World Series. The Yanks beat Philadelphia 7-3 in Game 6. ABC's Todd N has more from Yankee Stadium.
The celebration is underway here at New Yankee Stadium. The players mobbing each other right at the pitcher's mound. The fans standing and cheering. The Yankees get their first championship in 9 years. In fact, they bookend the decade with championships in 2000 and 2009. And they say that this one is for the boss, George Steinbrenner. This is his seventh championship as owner of the Yankees. At the World Series, Todd Ant, ABC News, New York.
The Senate Wednesday voted to extend unemployment benefits. Senator Chris Dodd.
Every day that we delayed in providing some relief to people who've lost their jobs through no fault of their own, 7,000 people every day were losing the benefits of unemployment insurance.
The AARP is reportedly prepared to endorse the Democratic health care reform package. The overhaul proposal could go to the House floor for a vote by Saturday. Meanwhile, the House Speaker wants to take advantage of Tuesday's election results.
Pushing for a House floor vote on health care reform this weekend, Democratic leaders are working to make sure they have the support needed. And Speaker Nancy Pelosi points out the Democrats gained 2 more House seats just yesterday.
From our standpoint, we picked up votes last night, one in California and one in New York.
A key Democratic committee chairman, Ike Skelton of Missouri, now says he will oppose his party's bill because he opposes any public insurance option. Vic Ratner, ABC News, at the Capitol.
Prosecutors say a former executive for a California-based tomato processor agreed to plead guilty to his part in a conspiracy to drive up food prices nationwide. Alan Scott Huey is accused of taking part in a scheme to bribe purchasing agents from major food companies to buy tomato products. You're listening to ABC News.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot. These are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly, and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Are you struggling with too much credit card debt, sky-high interest rates, having trouble just making the monthly minimums? We're Credit Card Relief. We've helped thousands of people become debt-free in months instead of years, all while saving thousands of dollars. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. Call Credit Card Relief, 866-333-9191. That's 866-333-9191. Not available in all states.
Cleveland authorities say more bodies have been found at the home of a convicted rapist. Here's ABC's Richard Cantu.
Cuyahoga County Coroner Dr. Frank Miller says they've removed 11 sets of human remains from the duplex owned by Anthony Soule.
We have recovered 10 bodies and one partial skeleton.
A skull. Soule got out of prison 4 years ago after a 15-year sentence for rape, and Miller says some of the bodies could have been in the house about that long.
It's consistent with being as old as the history of getting out of prison in 2005, some of them can be from that year.
A judge ordered Anthony Soule held without bail. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Former New York City Police Commissioner and one-time nominee for Homeland Security Secretary Bernard Kerik will reportedly enter a guilty plea involving three pending criminal trials. In one case, Kerik was accused of accepting renovations to his apartment in exchange for recommending a company looking to do business with New York City. The company was being investigated for alleged ties to organized crime. Kerry could get up to about 2.5 years in prison. A cat in Iowa is reported to be the first feline to get the H1N1 virus. Dr. Peter Katona is with the UCLA Medical Center.
Transmission between species goes on all the time. There's plenty of pig-to-pig-to-pig transfer of this virus right now. Obviously, we know about human-to-human transfer.
On Wall Street, the Dow closed up 30 points. This is ABC News.
The latest news.
I will never rush the solemn decision of sending you into harm's way.
All day,
we learn that our economy is growing again.
I'm pleased that the GDP numbers were up, but the question is, where are the jobs?
Every day.
The Affordable Health Care for America Act is founded on key principles of American success.
News Radio 650 KENI.
Over the last several months, the American people have spoken, and it's pretty clear that our Democrat colleagues have not listened.
And 650KENI.com.
Michael Barr, ABC News.
This time of year is a terrific time to plan a weekend in Seward at the Hotel Seward, located just 2 blocks from the Sea Life Center, is your base camp for adventure or sanctuary for relaxation. Close to the harbor, minutes away from Exit Glacier, the Hotel Seward is an excellent choice. Enjoy a drink in the Victorian-style lounge or retire to your room featuring a flat-screen TV, HBO, free Wi-Fi, many with fireplaces. For reservations, call 224-8001. On your drive down, enjoy breathtaking scenery. The new owners and staff of the Hotel Seward are looking forward to your visit. Call 224-8001.
Anchorage's official weather station, News Radio 650 KENI, keeps you in touch with Alaska's changing weather 24 hours a day. KENI AccuWeather.
The 650 KENI forecast for Anchorage in South Central Alaska. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few sprinkles and flurries. Watch for some icy spots, a low of 28. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high 34 to 38. Friday will be partly sunny with a high 34. I'm AccuWeather reading all the days, hours for your official weather station, 650 KENI.
Thank you.
gateway to the West. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, toll-free, dial 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, toll-free at 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George at area code 818-501-4721. And the wildcard line is open at area code 818-501-4109. International callers may reach George Norrie by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Floating format tonight. Next hour, Stephen Bassett joins us for a couple hours as we talk about UFO disclosure. I also want to get Stephen's reaction to the Lonnie Zamora death. He was the police officer in Scirocco, New Mexico, who passed away, but years ago had one of the most incredible UFO sightings ever recorded, ever. Just one of the best. And we'll be talking with Steve Bassett about that. Open lines when I come back on Coast to Coast AM. If you would like...